Lesson 1. Church, the people chosen by God. The Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. To your offsprings I will give this land." And he brought him outside and said, "Look towards heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your descendants be. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offsprings after throughout their generation, for an everlasting covenant to be. Go to you and to your offsprings after you. I will give to you and to your offsprings after you the land where you are now alien, or the land of Canaan, for a perpetual holding, and I will be their God." This covenant was the beginning of God's redemptive action to unite all the nations on earth into one family. The call of Abraham and the promises. As a result of the sin of man, the children of God were degraded and scattered. But God wanted to gather them into one flock and lead them on the path of salvation and raise them to the dignity of the children of God. The call of Abraham came in this context as God wanted to give rise to a new generation through him. Through faith and obedience, Abraham responded to God's call. God's promise came to Abraham at a time when he had no children and Sarah, his wife, had long advanced in years. Trusting in the promises of God, Abraham ventured to leave behind his dear native land and go to the place God has shown him. God was greatly pleased with Abraham's faith and obedience, and he blessed him with a son named Isaac, fulfilling his promise. The children of Jacob, Israel. God continued to keep his promises with Isaac and then Jacob, the son of Isaac. Jacob, who became the father of 12 tribes, was called Israel. Subsequently, all the descendants of Jacob came to be called Israel. God made them his chosen people, and they became heirs to his promises and blessings. The Bible tells us that the children of Israel went and dwelt in Egypt when Joseph, one of Jacob's sons, was the administrator there. In the course of time, they grew greatly in number. The call of Moses and the liberation of Israel. The authorities in Egypt became increasingly jealous and suspicious of the people of Israel as they made steady progress numerically and economically. Gradually, the Egyptians began to pressurize and persecute the Israelites. They treated them like slaves and made them work like slaves. God called Moses to liberate the people of Israel from slavery and persuasion under the Egyptian authority and to make them once again God's own people in accordance with the promises he had made to Abraham and his descendants. God said to Moses, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey." God's people being formed. God liberated the children of Jacob from their slavery in Egypt and led them through the deserts of the promised land. While they were being led under the leadership of Moses, God made a covenant with them on Mount Sinai. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation." God liberated Israel from Egypt and made covenant with them in order to make them God's own people. It is clear from what God told Moses. In the Old Testament, the word Kahal or Ecclesia in Greek is used to mean a people called into one flock by God and who were made God's own people. Literally, the word Kahal or Ecclesia means the assembly of those who are called together. This word received a religious significance when it was used in the Bible. The word Ecclesia means three things in the context of Israel's history. First one, the people of Israel constitute an assembly called by God. Second, they were called together for a special purpose, to worship the Lord, their God, and to keep His covenant was the purpose for which they were called. Third one, through this election, Israel became God's own people. A new covenant and a new people of God. Israel failed miserably to keep the terms of the covenant with God. They were unfaithful to God and worshipped the gods of the Gentiles. Yet God on His part remained faithful and remembered His covenant. God desired to make a new covenant with His people, a covenant that is inviolable, in which He will be their God and they will be His people. We read in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." In the fullness of time, Jesus, the Son of God, through His life, death, and resurrection, realized this covenant. Jesus established a new covenant of love by giving the transformed bread and wine as His own body and blood at the Last Supper. This covenant was sealed with His sacrificial death on the cross. Thus, God forgave the sins of humanity through the death of His own Son on the cross. God remembers our sins no more. As Paul the Apostle says, "For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteous of God." Saint Paul in Ephesians says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near in the blood of Christ." Church, the chosen people of God. The church is the assembly of the chosen people of God, gathered together by God Himself for the completion of His salvific work. Jesus established this church on the foundation of the apostles. Paul the apostle tells us that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before Him in love. Paul urges us to put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience as we are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Saint Peter also highlights our election by God. He reminds us in these words, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people." Therefore, the church is the assembly of God's people, chosen and brought together by God Himself. God has called us to salvation and sonship with Him, and we who are God's people should realize this in our lives. Word of God to read and meditate. From the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Word of God to remember. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before Him in love. From the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 4. Let us pray. O God, who united us all into our people, give us the goodwill to think with the church, to love the church, and to participate in her work to the best of our ability. My resolution: I shall always be thankful to God for making me a member of the church. To think with church. Christ instituted the new covenant gathering Jews and Gentiles to be united not only according to the flesh but in the spirit, and to be the new people of God. Vatican II, the Church number 9. To know the Mother Church. The people who received their Christian faith from Saint Thomas the Apostle are known as Marthoma Nasranis. The name Nasrani has been derived after the name of Jesus of Nazareth, meaning the followers of Jesus of Nazareth. The Nasranis dwelt on the Malabar coast in the southwestern part of India. Later, this community was called the Malabar Church. The attribute Siro was also added to them, as this community had their liturgical celebration in Syriac language. Today, the church is known as the Siro Malabar Church.